Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, we pray that you would keep your promise this morning, that as your word goes forth, it would accomplish that for which you send it, and let it not return void in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I've never been complimented with a compliment that upon hearing it, wondered if it was really very complimentary. Like if somebody were to say, "Hey man, great shirt." My grandpa used to wear that kind of shirt. Just you kind of wonder if it was really complimentary or, "Ooh, I like that haircut. Wish I could get mine to look like a poodle." You know, something like that. Sometimes a compliment isn't very complimentary, is it? At least not as complimentary sometimes as the person intended. I was looking on the internet for an illustration to use today, and I never could find one. I was looking for a particular kind of illustration. I was looking for examples of quotes from atheists or agnostics, or just any famous person at all who didn't believe in Jesus, and find out what they had to say about him. And here's what I expected. I expected it would be like some blogs that you see, the responses on these blogs, or sometimes the blogs themselves, where people just go on a rant. And that's what I expected to see. Or sometimes a Twitter feed, you know, where somebody just has a rant, and usually while they're ranting, they show how ignorant they are of a subject and don't know anything about it oftentimes. But that's not what I found. What I found when I was looking, I found people who were very complimentary, atheists that were very complimentary about our Lord Jesus, and agnostics who were complimentary, and famous people who had good things to say about Jesus. And they said oftentimes they would praise his ethic of turn the other cheek. And sometimes they extolled his Sermon on the Mount, and they said he was a great teacher, why he was right up there with the Buddha. But sometimes a compliment isn't really a compliment, is it? This is one of those times. Because according to our lesson for this morning, Jesus is far more than just a great teacher. Our lesson is found in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 16 and reading through verse 18. And here's what it says. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness," that is, all the fullness of the Godhead, "should dwell." When you read that passage at first, it seems like it's talking about God the Father, doesn't it? Because normally, in the way that we divide things up, and we have to kind of divide things up because our puny little minds cannot quite grasp the Trinity or the work that is accomplished by the Trinity. And so we usually divide it up, well, the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. But it's clear that that description we use so often is inadequate, isn't it? Because this passage attributes creation to the Son. It's clear that it's talking about the Son from verse 15, which comes one verse before where our passage began. We began with verse 16. Verse 15 says clearly that this is the Son, God the Son, our Lord Jesus. And there are two thoughts I'd like to focus on here. Both of them imply that Jesus is none other than Almighty God. And first off, our passage says this. This is the first verse, for by him, that is, literally says in him, and by means of him probably would be a good way to say it, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. So first of all, we see that God the Son also is the creator, along with the Father. And Paul deliberately expands this to say things that are visible and things that are invisible. Of course, visible are the things we see. And I don't guess I have to say this, but invisible are the things we can't see. And obviously, right? He goes on to expound what he's talking about here. He doesn't just mean things that are so tiny, like an atom, that we can't see them. He goes on to say this, thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, he says. These are beings he's talking about. And what he's saying is that our Lord Jesus Christ is the head of them all. He created them all. And so to simply put Jesus up there with Buddha as a great teacher, Jesus created Buddha. That's the difference. That's the big difference between he and Buddha. Not to mention Buddha was wrong. But, I mean, he was right in some things. Every, you know, a watch stopped clock is right twice a day. Buddha was right in some things, but in many he was wrong. So you start to see why to say he's simply a great teacher is woefully inadequate. Now, not only was he involved in the creation, but the next sentence says this. It says, and in him, well, let me start over. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, that which he created, he also sustains. If he, that is Jesus, were to begin to ignore this world, things would immediately begin to fall apart. And I'd like to make a few words of application, if I may. First is this. Comfort that God the Son is holding all things together. He continues to hold it together. He really does have the whole world in his hands. And he really does have you in his hands. He has your loved ones in his hands. And the people that you know and your friends. He really does sustain it all. And he sustains you. Take that personally, if you would, please. And secondly, if he is the creator, he gets to set the rules by which the world is governed. All the physical rules, all the laws that govern things, like gravity and things like that, He makes those rules, but also all the moral laws, all the laws which we are to obey. He gets to make those rules in accordance with his nature, and that's what he does. And every time I break one, then I sin against him personally. So I'll give you an example. If I make fun of you, if I poke fun when fun is intended, but I mean maliciously. If I make fun of someone, if I ridicule someone maliciously, I have sinned against him because you're his creation. I have no business insulting that which he created. Does that make sense? You belong to him. Why would I be insulting you? If I hurt someone else, I have hurt his property. If I neglect my wife and my kids, I sin against them, against him, not only against them, but against him because they belong to him. And I am his instrument to do good for them. Think for a minute of your interactions with others. Even the thoughts that you've thought about other people. It says, if you think deeply enough, you'll be ashamed, like I am, when I think of things I've thought and things I've done to other people. Thirdly, he is my creator and he's yours too. He gets to set the rules, but also he is your redeemer. The very one who created you has redeemed you. The very one whom you have sinned against, whom you hang your head in shame when you go to him in prayer, he is the very one who says, lift up your head. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. He is the same one. And that is a comfort, that the very one who was offended with all my sins wasn't satisfied just to be offended by them. He wanted to take them away. And he did that because he still wanted you to be with him for all eternity, to be his own, live with him forever. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And your sins have been washed away by his blood, and you need not be ashamed of them any longer. He has a kindly, forgiving smile when he looks at you. So believe it, because it's true. Would you please bow your head with me again? O full and everlasting God, we thank you that you have revealed to us the glory of your Son, and especially that you have let the light of your gospel shine upon us. We pray that you would guide us by this light so that we might diligently walk as Christians in all good works, ever be strengthened by your grace, and conduct our lives in all godliness. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Creator, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.